Proverbs chapter 18, we'll begin with the 18th or the 19th verse and read through the 24th. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 685, verses 19 through 24 of chapter 18, the text verse being that 24th verse. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read the verses responsively. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let's pray. Father, we rejoice to be thine. Thank you for this day, for this place. Thank you for our preacher. Bless to our hearts and our help the message, and we pray for thy power. As thy word is preached, as it's received, in Jesus' name, amen.
He that hath friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You won't find on the surface of that verse exactly the depth of its treasures. The words friend at the first and the word friend at the last are not the same in the original language. Let me paraphrase it for you. He that hath many acquaintances must first show himself to be acquainted easily, or must first acquaint himself. And there is a lover that sticketh closer than a brother. He that has acquaintances must first become acquainted easily with others. And there is a lover that sticketh closer than a brother. This morning I'm going to bring one of those sermons that I feel I should fail, because I'm going to try to exhaust the inexhaustible, explain the inexplainable, describe the indescribable. As I talk to you about that scripture, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that the people shall listen to me this morning as I introduce them to my friend and speak of him. Please center our attention upon this pulpit, that we may center our attention upon him who is a lover that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Would you give me your undivided attention, please? Jesus is my Savior, but I will not speak of him this morning as my Savior. Jesus, as far as I know today, is my Lord. I know he's my Savior. And if there's anything that's keeping him from ruling me totally as my Lord, I want to know what it is. But I will not speak of him today as my Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings, but I will not speak of him today as a king. He is my Redeemer, but I will not speak of him today as my Redeemer. Today, I want to speak of him as my friend. The heart of man is always craving friendship. Made in the image of God as we are, we, like God, hunger for love, affection, and friendship. I said in one of my books a statement that I believe about friendship so strongly. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. However, it is exceedingly difficult to know who our friends are. It is not easy in June to tell the difference between an acquaintance and a friend. You have to wait till November or December to find who the friend really is. It is not easy to tell the difference when the sea is smooth and reflects the hue of heaven's blue. You find out who the friend is when the sky is overcast and storms descend. For, ladies and gentlemen, friendship is only tested by the tempest. Today, I want to speak of my friend, a true friend. And I want to tell you some things today about his friendship. You know what I think a preacher ought to do? I think a preacher ought to be speaking what the people who love Christ would speak if they had a chance to speak. And this morning, I'm going to speak on behalf of thousands of people in this room and say what you would say or would like to say about this friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I hope I shall do justice to what you would like me to say and what you would like said about this friend. I want to tell you some things about his friendship. And this morning I especially want to speak to those lonely hearts who are here. For I too am alone a lot. And have found him a friend, a loving friend, that sticketh closer than a brother. There are so many lonely souls all about us. The college student who shares a new home with a few strangers as he becomes acquainted with a new life. The serviceman who seeks slumber in a faraway barracks, lonely and homesick. The shut-in whose floor or whose yard is a carpet and whose sun is a light bulb and whose horizon is a wall and whose sky is a ceiling. The patient who waits and doubts and waits and hopes and waits and sometimes even despairs. The senior citizen exiled to an island called a rest home. And the widow trying to be a mother and a father. This world is a lonely world. And all about us are people who are lonely. I remember when I went in the service in the last years of World War II, my mother was at the airport. And this is what she said as I left. She said, "Son, I once held Loreen in my arms, and God took her to heaven. I then held Hazel in my arms, and God took her from my arms and took her to heaven. I held your daddy in my arms, and your daddy left us, and my arms were empty. I held Erleen in my arms, and she left for the marriage altar. And now, son, you're going to the army, and my arms are empty again." There are millions of people in this world today, and hundreds in this room who are lonely. I wish I could burn and brand in your heart today the reality of my friend. The other night, when I go to see Mother, she about so often doesn't know who I am. Last night, I was her grandson. And one time I went, and I was Dr. Streeter. I tried to collect the bill while I was there. One time she thought I was my daddy. And she looked at me as best she could through her eyes that are almost blind. And my daddy's name was Athy. And my mother said so pathetically just a few days ago, "Athy, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me?" All over this world, there are people today who need to know of our friend who never leaves and there forsakes, is always with us. The same is true for the lonely bus kid whose mother and daddy never asked him what the Sunday school lesson was about. But they're not concerned about his return following the service this morning. Let me introduce you to my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. Jesus is the friend you need. Such a friend is he indeed. He's my friend when I'm good. And thank God he's my friend when I'm bad. He's my friend when I'm up. He's my friend when I'm down. He's my friend when I'm happy. He's my friend when I'm sad. He's my friend when I'm prosperous. He's my friend when I'm poor. He's my friend when I succeed. He's my friend when I fail. He's my friend when I'm honored by men. He's my friend when I'm slandered by my peers. He's my friend when I'm cheerful. He's my friend when I'm blue. I'm never on trial with my friend. He's always my friend. He's my friend when I'm obedient. He's also my friend when I rebel. He's my friend when I believe. He's my friend when I doubt. He's my friend when I laugh. And he's my friend when I weep. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Doubts and fears assail. But there is a friend who cares for you. Jesus never fails. My friend never deserts me. He never forgets me. I'm always on his mind. My friend never slumbers. He never sleeps. My friend encamps round about me while I sleep and slumber. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. My friend never tires of me. My friend is faithful. My friend is true. My friend is tender. My friend is strong. My friend never forsakes me. When I was laughed at as a poor boy because I had no shoes to wear to school and went barefoot, he was my friend. When my father left our home and walked over my kneeling body as I was pleading with him to stay, Jesus did not leave. My friend was there. When the loneliness of the army enclosed round about me, in lonely barracks around the country, my friend was always there. When people whom I have loved, like I love my own life, found no need for me anymore, and found others who could give them what they thought they would rather have than what I had to offer, though I gave my best, Jesus never forsook me. When my fellowship was with my loneliness in a motel room, or while I was marooned on an airplane island, or while walking out of a pulpit where I had to take a stand, my friend was always there. I have thought so often in recent days, I cannot be at my mother's bedside. I must be about the Master's business. I go see her, but I feel so guilty because I'm not there all the time. I have to leave her. My sister, who's been beside her miraculously and with unbelievable attention for these days, there are times that my sister must have some rest.
and she must sleep, and she must leave her. But thank God, Jesus, our friend, is always there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He never has to take a nap. He never has to get his rest. He never has to be gone to work for a while. He's always there. My friend is available. I've never had a day of sorrow when I did not find my friend at hand. Sometimes he is silent, but he's there. Other times he speaks. Sometimes I can hear him gently speak, and sometimes I can just feel the touch of his hand. You know, a friend doesn't have to talk. A friend just has to be there, that's all. I remember when my father passed away, and I stepped up to the casket to look at his face, reached down and touched his cold face, and everybody that's ever done that knows the awful shock of feeling the face that feels like a piece of cold stone. I felt the touch on my arm. I thought somebody was comforting me. I looked and found no hand on my arm. I found no person near me, but I felt a hand tugging at my arm and squeezing my arm. You say, who was it? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. It was my friend. He it was who was there. When the shadows have lengthened and the day's work is over, when I've delivered my soul in some church somewhere and go to a motel room to be alone, as I've done so many thousands of nights through these years, and I know I've done the best I could. I know I've delivered my soul. I know I've been faithful to the calling of God that night. I hear the voice of my friend saying, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. My friend is also rich. He owns the entire earth, and all the world's keys dangle from his girdle. My friend owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills and the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell, and he's my father, so they're mine as well. Earth's jewels are simply those that overflow his coffers. He uses his leftover gold as pavement for heaven's streets. His smaller pearls are used for the gates of glory. There's never a glorious sunset but that his hand painted it. There's never a bank of flowers but that they exist through the power of my friend. There's no music worth singing that my friend did not edit and originate. Every color is an expression of the beauty of my friend. Mountains are his handiwork. And there's never a ray of sun that he did not requisition. There's never a bolt of lightning that he did not order. There's never a clap of thunder that he did not utter. There are many diadems on his brow. My friend is the Lord of eternity and the master of time. And all of creation are his handiwork. I'm saying, my friend is not only always with me, and my friend not only never leaves me, but my friend is wealthy, and then also my friend loves me. He died for me not while I was good, but when I was bad. He died for me not because I was righteous, but because I was unrighteous. He died for me not because I was a perfect, but because I was imperfect. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all my life was against his holy purpose, my friend still loved me. He loves me in spite of my sin. He loves me in spite of my pollution. He loves me in spite of my depravity. He loves me in spite of my weakness. He loves me in spite of my failure. When I looked at him and said no, he loved me. When I drifted from him as a teenager, he loved me. When his book stayed closed on the table of indifference, he loved me. When my prayer closet was deserted, he loved me. When I was ashamed to speak of him, he loved me. Why, even now, he's at the right hand of God, pleading as an advocate, pleading my case against the slanderers and against the great slanderer, the father of lies. Even now, he stands forever pleading against the father of lies to the father of truth. My friend, my lover, wrote me a love letter. I told the young ladies at the college of the night, you know why you like for your sweetheart to write you notes? I didn't why. Because there's a while when there's a little insecurity about a romance. And you know that you can occupy the mind of your sweetheart while you're with her. But you want to be sure that you occupy her mind while you're apart from her. And so you want her to write you a note. She says the same thing on the note. She says when you're there, bunch of Gucci Gucci slob. But anyway, she says the same thing. And my friend, knowing that my mind wanders, and knowing that in his absence my mind sometimes is preoccupied, my friend wrote me a love letter to keep my mind occupied with him until I see him face to face. He tells me in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He tells me in Romans 5:8, that God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He tells me in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He tells me in this love letter in Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In this love letter, he reminds me in 1 Corinthians 13, his love never fails. And even now, he's preparing, as my friend, a place for me for eternity. I was thinking last night and this morning early, think of the beautiful flowers that God made in 6 days of creation. Imagine what heaven's flowers must be like as my friend has spent 2,000 years in their preparation. We look at the trees with their autumn coat of many colors like Joseph of old. We marvel at the beauty of those trees as the different hues and colors come when in death nature is its loveliest. We marvel at the beautiful budding of the tulip or the budding of the dogwoods of Atlanta in the springtime and marvel at God's beauty of the trees of nature. We marvel at the strength of the redwood and the awesomeness of the pine and the majesty of the palm. And yet God made those in 7, 6 short days. Imagine what the tree of life must look like. We look at the colors of nature and marvel at the colors of nature. And we pause and realize that God did all that in 6 days. Imagine what the colors of glory land must be like when God has prepared them for 2,000 years. We look at the Danube, the Nile, the Tigris, the Euphrates, and marvel at the beauty of those rivers. And God made those in 6 short days. Imagine how beautiful must be the river of life for which God has worked for these 2,000 years. My friend is gentle. Not a weak gentleness because of weakness. Because weakness cannot be gentle. For gentleness is strength held in check. We speak of the gentle brook, but no brook is gentle. The brook has no recourse but to be quiet. The brook cannot be tossed and turned. The brook must be quiet. There's no gentleness there. Let me tell you what gentleness is. Gentleness is the mighty ocean taking a nap while great waters kiss the shore, as the little child plays in its quietness and is kissed with the crest of a wave. The ocean, the mighty ocean that could bring a storm that would engulf all who are near it. The mighty ocean that can lap on the shores and destroy an entire city. Gentleness is when that powerful mighty ocean lies down to rest and allows little children to play in its waters. And my great God that made the universe, my great omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, he is a gentle one. His chisel sculptures mountain peaks, his pitcher pours the lakes. 'Tis through his brush the rainbow speaks, his fury spawns the quakes. His power sends the snowflakes like tiptoeing drops of rain. His breath sends forth the gentle breeze to resurrect the grain. He carved the gorges into view while morning stars did cheer. He placed the seven-colored hue and made the bow appear. 'Tis God whose mighty voice I hear in thunderings overhead. Tornadoes are his footprints, spring wings his gentler tread. The hurricane awaits his call. The earthquake is his royal servant. The lightning lies at his feet awaiting its orders. Tornadoes obey his command. And yet, this mighty controller of nature and power
walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joys we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. That's my friend. My friend is generous. He gives me all I need and infinitely more. He shares with me all that he has. His wealth is my inheritance. He gives me the world that belongs to him. He supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Through him I own the music of the sea. Through him I own the emerald green of the meadow. To him I own, through him I own the peerless blue of the sky. Through him I own the topaz tint of the rainbow and the nervous branches of wind-blown trees. Oh, 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 what he's done for me. Oh, 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 what he's done for me. If I should try through all eternity, I could never, never tell you what he's done for me. There is a friend, a lover, that sticketh closer than a brother. Yes, he's omnipotent. Yes, he's omniscient. Yes, he's omnipresent. Yes, he's the great King of Kings. Yes, he's the great Lord of Lords. Yes, he's the Savior of the world. Yes, he's Redeemer of our souls. Yes, he's God incarnate. Yes, he is Jesus the Savior. Yes, he is Christ the Lord. Yes, he's that and more. But mainly, he's my friend. He leaves his heavens and enters a quiet motel room. Speak with me. He leaves his omnipotence and comes to a college dorm to speak with you. He lays aside his omniscience and comes to a rest home to be a friend. And he sits today in room 44121 of Broadway Methodist Hospital, where Earlene cannot always be, I cannot always be, he can always be there. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He's my friend. Oh, by the way, my friend wants to be your friend too. Our Heavenly Father,